Welcome to this week's Mr. Science Show. My name is Mark West, and this week we're coming to you from the Shinkansen bullet train in Japan. We spent the last couple of weeks travelling around Korea and Japan on our trip back from London to Sydney, and at the moment we're catching the Shinkansen bullet train between Tokyo and Fukuoka in a whirlwind last 2 days before we board a plane from Seoul in Korea to come home. We've already travelled up once from Fukuoka to Tokyo, stopping along the way at the many, many sights. And today we're travelling back all in one go. And as we go, I'm going to give you a tour of some of the Japanese science that we've come across during our time here. And as we're coming from Tokyo, I'm going to start with some science of Tokyo, and in particular, the science of sumo wrestling. Yesterday we went to the sumo wrestling in Tokyo, and it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. If you haven't heard of sumo wrestling, picture two really, really big guys, and we're talking almost 200 kilos, I would say, in a ring, wearing not much else but some underwear, fighting each other. And there are about 80 different ways to win a match, but the major way is to push your opponent out of the ring. Sumo wrestling is highly spiritual and highly ritualized. It's based in the Shinto religion, and it's very popular in Japan, really captures the public's imagination. And these days, it's actually quite international, with some of the major stars from Eastern Europe and from Mongolia. But how do these guys get so big? Well, here's the Mr. Science, a four-step science diet. So it's the Mr. Science science diet to getting yourself ridiculously huge to fight sumo. The first step in this list is to not eat breakfast. After 8 hours of sleep, your body is craving some energy, and if you don't give it any energy, your body's metabolism slows down. The second way to slow down your body's metabolism is to exercise on an empty stomach. This also slows your body's metabolism down, so that when you do eat, a lot more of it gets stored as fat, and you don't use up all the energy that it provides you. The third thing that they do is they have a really big lunch, and then they go to sleep. So sleeping on a full stomach means that you don't use the energy that all that food has just provided you, and your body then goes ahead and starts to store it as fat. And the fourth step in this is to eat with others. There are some studies out there that show that you eat around about 40% more food when you're dining with others, and that you eat around 30% more fat and 30% more calories when you're eating with others. Perhaps it's a social thing. So there you have it. To get fat, slow down your metabolism, and eat with other people. The sumos actually live in sumo stables, so they live with all the other sumos, and there's a stable master who controls their diet. There's also a hairdresser that gives them the cool haircuts that they've got. And within this communal environment, they can all feast at the same time. Unfortunately, looking at this four-step plan, it's kind of pretty much my diet. I tend to skip breakfast an awful lot, and then on the weekends I'll go out for a swim on an empty stomach. I also tend to eat more in the afternoon than in the morning, which is bad. And then I go to sleep at night, which is having a lot of food before you go to bed, which you're not going to burn off. So next year, you might see an Australian in the sumo wrestling ranks in Tokyo. Eugenia was just telling me one of the reasons why the sumos get fat is to lower their center of mass. And this makes quite a lot of sense. In men, especially strong men, they carry a lot of weight around the shoulders and around the chest. Now the sumos need to lower their center of mass, essentially to make it harder for them to be pushed over, I guess. So they eat an awful lot to concentrate fat around their bellies and around their hips. And through some of their exercises, they get incredibly strong thigh muscles and legs. These guys must have knee replacements throughout their lives, because the amount of pressure they put on their knees is incredible. Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so. Yuji conduct a class activity comparing a ballerina to a sumo. What's all this about?
An activity to show children the difference between where your centre of mass might lie or where the centre of mass of different people might lie. You can look at a ballerina and also a sumo wrestler. So a ballerina, very slim young ladies, they tend to have quite a high centre of mass because they lift their bodies up quite high by standing on their toes. At the same time as lifting their centre of mass up, they're also decreasing the support base or the area that's on the ground. So a ballerina's support base is generally, you know, if they're on point shoes, then it would be the area of the point, or maybe on the balls of their toes. So they have a very small support base. Whereas a sumo will try to increase the support base. And that's why they widen their legs, so that they have a very large support base, and it's very difficult to get their centre of mass beyond that support base. So the wider your legs are, the harder it is to topple or to move past that support base.
Especially when the centre of mass is so low.
That's also, yeah, why they bend their knees so down so low, so that their centre of mass is also quite low. So there's a bit of a ritual routine that the sumos do of you know, seeing how wide they get their legs and how low down they can get, that sort of thing, before they start their actual wrestling.
One of the funny things about all this is because the sumos are big, once they start moving, they find it very hard to stop. So some of the bouts were over very, very quickly if they sort of charge at each other at the start and come together with a grapple. But a few of the bouts we saw, one of them would just take a quick step to the left, and once the other guy had missed him, he went straight to the floor and the bout was over. So what do you think of my future career in sumo?
I'm a little bit worried because I think that it may impact on my diet as well. And I'm probably closer to a sumo wrestler in size than you are at the moment. So yeah, it does worry me.
I think you're very harsh. I think you're much closer to a ballerina than I am. We've just passed Mount Fuji on the train. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see Japan's highest mountain because of the mist and the fog. In fact, you can't really see it unless it's wintertime. But this mountain is around about 3,700 metres tall, and like Mount Kilimanjaro, it's not part of a mountain range. So it just is a freestanding mountain, and it's actually a dormant volcano, so in theory it could still go off. The volcano's been dormant for hundreds of years. It last went off in 1707. And talking about Fuji brings us in a roundabout way to Fugu, which is the poisonous fish, which I first learnt about in The Simpsons. This is a famed fish, and it's actually poisonous. It's also known as globefish, blowfish, or pufferfish, and its nickname is Tepo, which means the pistol. And it's called the pistol because if you're careless when you cook it, you can die. It contains a poison called tetrodotoxin, which is clear and tasteless and odorless, and it's 13 times stronger than arsenic. And one fugu fish contains enough poison to kill 33 people. So you need to be a specially trained chef to be able to get it. Hence, it costs around about $100 or 10,000 yen to go to a fugu restaurant. Unfortunately, we didn't get to have any fugu, but we did get to eat some Kobe beef. So whilst there might be some science to the fugu fish, there's certainly an old-fashioned science to the Kobe beef, because I have never had, and I paid for this and it cost quite a lot of money, but I've never had meat so fatty. They say that the Kobe cows sit around all day drinking beer and getting massages. Now, I'm not so sure about this, but it's certainly changed the way I view beef, because it's the first time I've had beef that literally melted in my mouth. The meat itself is very marbly, and this is probably a result of selective breeding, the cow's diet of alfalfa, corn, barley and wheat straw, as opposed to any beer drinking and massages. But I'd certainly like to take up the Kobe cow's lifestyle, except for that bit where they get killed and eaten. And whilst we're talking about Japanese food, one of the things that I had a lot of and quite liked was sashimi, which is raw, thinly sliced fish. Now, it seems quite healthy to eat, and it is, but the danger with any uncooked food is, of course, contamination. And one of the places we went to, now I can't say its name, Eugenia, can you say its name?
We visited the Parasitological Museum.
Say again, for those who missed it the first time.
The Parasitological Museum.
Which, as you might guess from the name, is a parasite museum. And there we saw an 8.8-metre tapeworm, which developed in the stomach of a Yokohama man because he ate uncooked trout. I'm really hoping I'm not growing a tapeworm in my stomach right at the moment. But being the science nerds that we are, we quite enjoyed the Parasitological Museum. Did I get that right?
Very well done.
Thank you. It's the first time I've said parasitological correctly all day. Certainly a recommended attraction if you feel like being freaked out when you go to Tokyo. One of the brilliant things about the Shinkansen, which I heartily recommend as a method of travel because it is easily the most comfortable travelling experience I've had when travelling a long distance. One of the really good things about it is you get to have a good look at the Japanese landscape. And Japan is a very mountainous place. Being located on the edge of two plates means apart from this mountainous landscape, it also has the distinction of being one of the most seismically active areas on Earth. It's estimated that Japan is hit by 1,000 earthquakes each year. And in 1995, Kobe was hit by an earthquake which killed more than 6,000 people. The architecture in Tokyo, especially in Yokohama, is quite interesting because apart from some areas, the landscape is quite low-rise, and the high-rise buildings are specifically designed to be earthquake-proof. One of the ways they do this is to have a massive counterweight in the middle of the building, say near the elevator shaft, so if the building were to move one way, the counterweight will move the other way and balance it and stop the building falling over. But one of the upshots of being in such a seismically active area are the onsen, which are baths. Now these baths are hot baths of water that percolate up through the earth to the surface because of all the seismic activity. And they're warm, much like the ones you might find in Iceland, which we saw when we were there, or in New Zealand. I personally love these types of baths and had a really good time there, although it is quite an experience getting completely naked with a whole bunch of people who you've never met before. Although because it is such a cultural and traditional thing, I really needn't have worried, because the guys I was in the bath with didn't care at all. About to pull into Kyoto, which is home to one of the most famous, at least in recent times, international agreements, that of the Kyoto Protocol on Climate Change. It was interesting in Kyoto to see that some of the taxis were actually Toyota Priuses. Perhaps the city itself is taking to heart the protocol's aims. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time I had in Japan and Korea to do any more live recording, so that's the end of the podcast. If you'd like any more information on the content contained in this podcast, particularly the sumo diet, check out my website at www.mrscienceshow.com. There you will find some more information, some links, some contact details, and also plenty of photos from my time in Japan. Thanks very much for joining me on my trip. That website again, www.mrscienceshow.com. I'm sorry that this podcast took so long to come out. Hopefully I'll see you again next week on the Mr. Science Show. Thanks very much. What do you think? Is that funny?
Sorry, I wasn't listening very carefully, I was reading. I'm